This past summer, my wife and I took my parents, our son, and our granddaughter on vacation to Tennessee. We wanted to get out into nature, so we found the perfect cabin on Airbnb where all four generations could stay together. The amenities really made the trip special. We had our own hot tub with a mountain view, a fire pit for late night s'mores, and a full kitchen. When you're traveling with four generations, eating every meal out gets expensive, so it was great to make bacon and eggs for breakfast one morning and grill steaks for dinner another night. Booking a stay like this gives you the flexibility to vacation how you want, where you want, with the people who matter most. But it got me thinking. Airbnb isn't just great for finding places to stay. You can also list your own home when you're away. It's nice that the same platform I use to book family vacations can also help me earn a little extra money during high-demand weekends without having to upend my daily life. Honestly, listing my house feels like a smart thing to do because it's just so incredibly practical. I'm already going to be traveling anyway. So why not earn a little extra money to put toward an upcoming vacation, help offset the cost of my flights, or upgrade my travel gear? Turns an empty house into an easy opportunity while you enjoy your own time off. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
In business, there's no room for guesswork. Every shipment matters, every deadline counts. When you're trying to keep operations running smoothly, the last thing you need is uncertainty. That's why reliability is at the core of USPS Ground Advantage. From the moment your package is first scanned in, it moves through a secure nationwide network, aiding in a timely and accurate delivery. You get near real-time tracking so you can keep up with your shipments. And with affordable upfront pricing, there are no hidden fees or surprise surcharges to throw off your cost sheets. It all adds up to predictable deliveries you can depend on. Because knowing your logistics are handled lets you focus on everything else, your customers, your team, and the future you're building. Visit usps.com/groundadvantage to start shipping with confidence. USPS Ground Advantage. We mean business.
Well, if you were sleeping or you just missed it over the offseason, here's what you need to know about the AFC. Welcome to Fantasy Football Today Express. Jamie and I are going to go through the major storylines in the AFC. Let's start with the AFC East. A.J. Brown is on the Patriots. What else do we need to know about the AFC East? And you can even start with that because it's obviously a huge offseason storyline.
Yeah, I think two major additions at the wide receiver position to this division. You have A.J. Brown going to the Patriots, which I think keeps him in the conversation to be a top 10 fantasy wide receiver. Drake May was fantastic in his sophomore campaign, helping the Patriots reach the Super Bowl. He did that with Stephon Diggs at 30 years old, coming off an ACL tear as his best receiver. So I think A.J. Brown has an opportunity here to, which was a pretty surprising season for him last year, given how much we think he struggled. He still had a pretty good campaign, and during the middle of the year was averaging over 19 PPR points per game. So A.J. Brown can get back to being an elite fantasy option. So I like him in round two. And then let's not forget DJ Moore going to Buffalo. I think that's going to be a great opportunity for him. I don't know if he can ever get back to that 2023 season that he had, or 2024 season that he had with the Bears. Pushing 30 years old here, but with Josh Allen as his quarterback and we know a pretty suspect receiving core around him, I think DJ Moore can lead the team in targets by a significant margin and push to be a top 20, if not potentially top 15 wide receiver. So I like him in that round four-ish, five-ish range as well. Rest of the division is pretty much what you think of with the Jets. Hopefully Geno Smith is going to make that passing game a little bit better. And then for the Dolphins, good luck with that offense there. That receiving core is pretty miserable.
Yeah, it's a tough one with the Dolphins, and Malik Willis will be an interesting player. Devon Achane is going to be a tough one for people because we all know he's great. Can he do well on a bad offense? And I think based on history, yeah, there are definitely examples, but he's probably going to have to catch a lot of passes to make that happen. All right, how about the AFC North with, you know, Baltimore's got a new offensive coordinator. Cincinnati's basically running it back. A lot of changes in Cleveland. And yeah, some changes. New head coach, Michael Pittman. In Pittsburgh, new running back. Pittsburgh looks a lot different, but what stands out to you in Baltimore?
Yeah, I was going to go coaching staffs aside from Cincinnati. All of other three teams have new coaches, new head coaches. So a lot of changes in this division. For Pittsburgh, I think, or for Baltimore, excuse me, I think it's, you know, hopefully we get the continued excellence of production from Lamar Jackson, Derrick Henry. Can we get a step forward for Zay Flowers? A lot of people excited about him, you know, coming off a top 10 fantasy finish last year. But as we've noted time and time again, you've done great job at you know, showing that the receiving production last year, 2025, was much different than previous years. And so can Zay Flowers really be a top 10 wide receiver? I don't think you have to draft him that way, but I think he's got a chance to have a breakout campaign, especially if his touchdowns increase. And then you look at no Isaiah Likely. Does that make Mark Andrews back? Does that put Mark Andrews back in the starting mix? I don't think so, but he's a borderline starter. So if you are inclined to take two tight ends, I think at the end of your draft, take a chance on Mark Andrews. You mentioned Michael Pittman going from the Colts to the Steelers. Would not shock me at all. I think you kind of share the same sentiment if Pittman is better than DK Metcalf, because the type of routes that Pittman runs, the way that Aaron Rodgers wants to get the ball out of his hands, we can see Michael Pittman having a little bit of a resurgence. And if you look at the start of last season when Daniel Jones was healthy, he was actually having a pretty solid fantasy campaign. So I think Michael Pittman's a little undervalued for where he is now with the Steelers. They also add Rico Dowdle, keep an eye on that backfield with Jalen Waddle now. And then the rest of the division, really, I think it's Cincinnati, you know, you're getting, just stay healthy. You know, their top quarterback, two wide receivers, running back. So four players are all elite, all have the chance to be top 5 to 10 at their respective positions. You know, T. Higgins could still be a borderline top 10 wide receiver. But Cleveland really is a big story. Deshaun Watson is healthy, so it looks like he's going to be the starter there. And they add two rookie wide receivers who could sort of change what this passing game looks like and impact Harold Fannin, who was great as a rookie last year. So Fannin still should be considered a top 10 fantasy tight end, but I think his ceiling's a little bit capped. Last year, there was nobody really to take targets away, especially in the second half of the season when Jerry Jeudy was struggling. Now you have Casey Concepcion and Denzel Boston. Both could have been first-round rookies. Concepcion was. Boston was an early second-round pick in the NFL draft. I think both rookies are worth drafting late in your seasonal leagues.
We'll look at the AFC South and AFC West when we return on Fantasy Football Today Express.
Hey, before we jump back into the show, let's take a quick break. But not just any break. This is a refreshing break with Snapple. We all know about Snapple's iconic Real Facts, so let's take a minute to go over some of my faves. Snapple Real Fact 1983. The first player drafted to play pro football never played in the league. Snapple Real Fact 1119. The Grand Canyon could hold about 900 trillion footballs. Snapple Real Fact 2064. The first college football game broadcast on TV was on September 30th, 1939. Snapple Real Fact 1896. The tradition of playing football on Thanksgiving originated with college football in 1876. So grab a Snapple, take a second, and enjoy the moment, because let's be honest, this might be the most refreshing part of your day. Snapple, make your break more interesting. All right, now let's get back to the show.
All right, the AFC South is a little bit of a boring division.
Is it?
Well, from a fantasy standpoint, I'm thinking about it. How many players in this division are being drafted in the first four rounds? I can only think of two. I'm probably wrong, but Jonathan...
For four rounds, for sure?
Jonathan Taylor and Nico Collins.
Yeah, Tyler Warren will be close.
Right? It's pretty...
I mean, and maybe Bashel Tootin gets there if there's a lot of hype this offseason, but right, Robinson seems too rich.
And that's an interesting thing for Jacksonville, is like we expect them to be a pretty good offense, but there's so many mouths to feed. It's unclear who's going to really stand out, but you're probably going to get some value somewhere. Anyway, what stands out to you with the Texans, Colts, Jags, and Titans?
A lot of high upside players, like you said, that you can get middle to late in your drafts. So, you know, Lawrence, to me, is the best quarterback in this division, unless I'm missing somebody. But I think just looking at his potential and what he should be able to accomplish, better than CJ Stroud, better than Cam Ward, better than Daniel Jones. So love the upside for Trevor Lawrence. He's one of my favorite breakout players this year. The running backs in this division, you know, it's Jonathan Taylor and then a lot of question marks, I think. You know, Tony Pollard, Bashel Tootin will sort of, and David Montgomery, I think, all go in a very similar range. I think Montgomery's move to Houston is huge, you know, so leaving Detroit and, you know, forget about the end of the season last year with the Lions. He was kind of getting phased out a little bit, understandably so, because Jahmyr Gibbs is awesome. Montgomery, I don't think he's Joe Mixon when Mixon went there in 2024, but he can have that type of fantasy impact where still very good at the goal line, still a good rusher, probably surprises you a little bit as a pass catcher, and they lean on him quite a bit. Bashel Tootin and Chris Rodriguez coming over to the Jaguars this offseason, they will compete for the starting running back job there. Whoever wins that role, I think it's going to be Tootin, is probably worth taking no later than round six. The later you get him, the better. But don't forget about Rodriguez. If he loses the job, he has a connection to Liam Cohen from their time when they were both in Kentucky. And then Pollard, last five games of the season, averaging over 100 yards rushing per game, could have a resurgence a little bit with the addition of Brian Daboll as the head coach there and the receiving changes that they made for the Titans. But really it comes down to the high upside players being Parker Washington, could be fantastic in Jacksonville, as we saw at the end of last year. Josh Downs, with Pittman now gone, could be great for the Colts, average over 12 PPR points per game in 2024. And then don't forget about, you know, Wandell Robinson for the Titans. You know, he was great last 2 years for the Giants. Yeah. So it's some players that can still win you fantasy weeks. We'll see if they can win you fantasy seasons.
Yeah, man. Let's get to the West, the wild, wild AFC West. Hopefully a little bit more fun here. Are the Chiefs the third best offense in this division behind the Chargers and Broncos?
I would probably still take the Chiefs over the Broncos, but to me, the Chargers have the chance to be the best offense in the division. You know, so addition of Mike McDaniel is the biggest thing. Yeah. And then just hopefully a lot of health. You know, you get a healthy Ladd McConkey, you get a healthy Omari Hampton. Biggest thing is you get a healthy Rashawn Slater and Joe Alt, and that offense could be amazing, as you know, I'm a big fan of. So love taking Chargers in fantasy drafts this year. Herbert, Hampton, McConkey, Quinn Johnston, you know, even still Rhonda Gaston with the addition of David Njoku. So I think it's going to be a fun offense to have pieces of. The Chiefs, the biggest thing is, are they going to shift maybe to a little bit more of a run-focused, you know, offense here with the addition of Ken Walker, Amari DiRicato, Emmett Johnson, plus Mahomes coming off the ACL tear. Now, the good news is it seems like he's going to be ready for week one. And the good news as well is that Rashee Rice looks like he's going to be on the field for week one. So Rice is a borderline first round pick for me. Certainly somebody should consider taking in the top 15 overall picks, as long as there's no off field slash injury concerns. Travis Kelce's back and now married, if you missed that this offseason. So that's going to be interesting to see there if that changes anything.
That was the offseason story. We should have led with that.
Yeah, that's true. But the Broncos now have Jalen Waddle. So we'll see how this passing game looks. Bo Nix should be ready for week one after suffering that gruesome ankle injury in the AFC divisional round. And then we'll see how the running backs look for the Broncos with the addition of Jonah Coleman in the draft, plus the return of J.K. Dobbins. And the Raiders are going to be an interesting team. You know, they add Jalen Naylor, who could be their number one wide receiver. They draft Fernando Mendoza. We'll see at what point he gets a starting job. It sounds like Kirk Cousins is going to be the starter there. But you get a lot more, I think, people excited about Brock Bowers this year. And that's going to be fun to see how good he can be. So Bowers is going to be a fun tight end to draft in the middle of the end of round two.
Yeah, it's an awesome division in terms of the offseason stuff. Getting Jalen Waddle, getting Ken Walker, getting Mike McDaniel, getting Fernando Mendoza. It's really good stuff. Getting Eric Bieniemy maybe to keep that Chiefs run game going.
Thank you, Taylor Kelce.
Yes. Thank you to Jamie for his time. Thank you to all of you for watching and listening. I'm Adam Azer. We'll talk to you tomorrow on Fantasy Football Today.
Paramount Podcasts.